As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Please be seated. All right. Well, today we're in our fifth week of our Committed to Christ series, Six Steps to a Generous Life. Six steps toward a life generous toward God in response of the salvation that we've received from our Lord Jesus. In our series together, we've seen that disciples of Jesus pray. Committed Christians communicate daily through a life of prayer. And we've seen that disciples read their Bible. Committed Christians constantly and consistently read God's Word and allow for God's Word to speak to us in this life that we walk with Him. And thirdly, Jesus' disciples prepare themselves for worship, and they seek to truly live a life of worship. And then last week we saw how disciples of Jesus Christ witness. Committed Christians share in simple ways our faith and our love for Jesus. And God brings to us opportunity after opportunity to share. And so we're not to make that difficult in our sharing. And so today we come to our fifth step to a generous life toward God. And church, that's by our financial giving. There are a lot of great ways disciples give and support the ministries of Christ Church. But understand, disciples of Jesus give financially. Now, there might be one or two here thinking this morning, I kind of wonder if that whole reason this pastor has done this series on discipleship, what it is to be a Christian, you know, a committed Christian, is because of today's theme. What do you think? That crazy pastor, he's just done snuck a stewardship sermon in on us, right? But you see, the fact is, financial giving is simply a part, a very important part of being a disciple for Jesus Christ. Yet for some reason, developing this holy habit of financial generosity might just be one of the most difficult of the six steps of our commitment to Christ. And I think it was difficult in Jesus' day also. Perhaps this is why Jesus talked more about money and how to use it than he spoke about prayer or heaven or hell. You know, Jesus told 43 parables that are recorded in the New Testament. And you know, 27 of these parables in some way are about money and possessions. Do you realize that? You know, Herb Miller, who is one of the United Methodist Resource People for Stewardship, has recorded that there are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer, 500 on faith, and more than 2,000 on money and what money buys. And I suppose why Jesus spoke about giving, about issues relating to money and to possessions, more than he spoke about heaven and hell combined, was because there's this huge link between one's financial giving and one's spiritual life. You see, Jesus' disciples pray. Jesus' disciples read Bibles. We witness, we worship, we give financially, and we also serve. And we'll be talking about that one next Sunday. But these foundational roots to our faith are part of what it is to be a spiritual people of God. You see, church, our financial giving is a spiritual exercise. It's like doing push-ups or doing curls. You know, you cannot make your muscles strong without doing those. You can't expect your muscles to become strong. You got to work them, just like being a disciple of Jesus. You have to work that in order for your spiritual muscles to be strong. And for good reason. You see, God's Word directs us to. It's to bring the very first fruits that we have and give to the Lord. To give back to God a tithe. And a tithe is 10%. a spiritual discipline. That's what it's about. It's not about God needs it or the church needs it, but because as Christians, our use of money should reflect our faith priorities. And another great reason to make giving a priority is because without financial support, ministry cannot happen. And we're to be about ministry, about furthering the kingdom of God. And that is not able to happen without the good gifts of God's people. See, missions cannot happen without financial support. Our day-to-day activity that must be completed in the church in order to do ministry and mission, those kinds of things have to happen. You know, it's good to have light. It's good to be able to see things on the screen. It's good to have electricity, right? You know, it's good to have literature, and it's good to pay the things that we need to even our bulletins that are in our hands cannot be possible without the faithful support of God's people freely and openly, and most important, joyfully giving back a portion of all that God has blessed us with. You know, I love John Wesley's view on financial giving. Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and he said, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Wesley lived these words. You know, whenever he died, he hardly had a penny left. His estate was gone. In fact, there was just enough money that he had just enough money left to bury himself. He lived his life. He lived his life giving it away. He lived a very modest life in order that he could give to building new churches, purchasing religious books for class meetings, and supporting ministries to widows and orphans and prisoners and hospitals. This is where he spent his money. See, Wesley made as much as he could, and he saved all that he could so that he could advance the kingdom of God. That was his goal, giving all he could. And in part, church, we are here today because of his generosity. We need to understand that. We today are a church, in part today, because of Wesley's generosity and the difference that he made in his life. You see, church, I think God wants us to be smart when it comes to the riches that He blessed us with, however large or however small that might be. I think Wesley was right to make all you can, to save all you can, but not to stop there, but to give all that we can. You see, as committed disciples of Jesus, we are to financially give, but we're also to be smart about that. And in our giving, we understand that we can never outgive God. You just can't do that. It just doesn't work that way. And another thing I've discovered about giving is that our giving never disappears. Never disappears. You know, it's funny how whenever you and I pay bills, you know, we make that car payment, we pay off a credit card, or we buy clothes and all. But in time, every one of those things will be gone. Every one of those things will be gone. But our giving to God, you know, that never disappears, because the dollars that we give to God through the church are always at work, always enriching the lives of children, of youth. They continue to support ministries and missions, and those dollars continue to keep touching lives of people that we will likely never know. You talk about a great investment, just like that video that we watched last week of that young girl sharing her faith with her college roommate. Remember that video? It was years later that a young man came to faith in Jesus Christ, partially because of the chain of events that took place starting with that young girl. Church, God takes our giving and He does amazing things with it because we were faithful and open-handed and gave joyfully as Jesus' disciples. And God notices that. And so what I'm saying is that those dollars that you gave 3 years ago, in an offering on a Sunday morning? Are those dollars that you gave 5 years ago or 10 years ago? And I know there's been people here, you know, that's been here 50 some years or 60 or 70 years in this church. Those dollars that you gave on January the 19th in 1958, God's still using those. You realize that? God is still using those. What you give in 2018 and what you will give in 2019, God will use and bless lives, and from that, those blessed will bless. And it just keeps on going, just like it has to us since the time of John Wesley. Maybe that's why Jesus spoke so much about money in Scripture. The money you give to God never disappears. Oh, part of it goes to things like utilities, lights, administration, keeping things working and all, but not all of it. Part of every dollar goes to some ministry, some mission that touches lives that will touch lives, and that never stops. And once a life is touched by God, it is never the same. That's why disciples give. And God notices that. That's what today's scripture is about. This poor widow bringing her offering into the temple. And this poor widow giving all that she has, and Jesus takes notice of her generosity. You see, whenever people love extravagantly, we notice that. Whenever people show care for others extravagantly, we take notice of that, don't we? When people extravagantly give of themselves, of what they have, of what they know, of what they can do, we can't help but to take notice. And Jesus notices this poor widow. He notices her generosity. Even out of her poverty, she gives all unto God. You see, I think this story, this event speaks volumes to us today, especially in our present economy. I think it shows us that God notices the faithfulness of His people, that God notices our sacrifice, especially when that sacrifice calls us to go well beyond ourselves and to truly trust God for everything. And today, you know, many struggle with what tomorrow might bring. Will I have a job? You know, will the bottom drop out of the market? Will I lose my health insurance due to cuts in benefits? Will my hours be cut? On my fixed income, will I be able to live at my current level with all the increases and the cost of living with everything else? See, these are good questions. They're questions that you and I should be asking. But in the midst of these questions, there's even a better question. Can we trust God? Like this poor widow. Like this poor widow. Can we trust God with all of our life? Can we be like this widow that Jesus notices? You see, the story of the poor widow might not be nearly as much about money or offering or anything along that line. It may very well have nothing to do with what you and I give or how you and I give to God. But maybe it's more about what God notices about you, about me. You see, the world notices people of high social account, people of wealth, people of power, people who pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and achieve some measure of standing. But Jesus notices a poor, impoverished widow. And He points out to us that from God's point of view, that she has given more than the multimillionaires, even more than the wealthiest that live within a 5-mile radius that we talked about last Sunday, you know, and maybe even more than all the good, generous folk of Selma Christ. For we give out of our surplus or out of what we have. But this This widow, this person on the lowest rung of the social ladder, is different. She gives out of what she gives not out of what she has, but she gives out of what she does not have. She gives her very last two coins. And Jesus notices. You know, it's amazing that people, the people and the deeds that Jesus took notice of. There was this father that whose son who grabbed his inheritance before his father had died. You remember that story? He runs away from home. Remember the story of the prodigal? The boy squanders every last dime, and then with no money, no place to go, this prodigal son has the audacity to come back home, and his daddy, as hurt as a parent could possibly be, rejected by his own child, responds in this incredible way. He opens his arm. He throws this welcome home party, and he lavishes this boy with forgiveness and with love. But notice this. The father does not give out of any abundance of warm and fuzzy feelings. But as empty as he is, this father somehow musters up this one more gift of grace for his child. And Jesus says, notice that. Notice that. Jesus called our attention to those kind of people. You know the kind that I mean? The kind that we would never associate with? One day this poor excuse for a human being is walking down the road to Jericho, and he happens across one of our kind of people who's lying there by the side of the road, all beat up and just a mess. And while lots of other people just like us walk by and too busy to stop and help, this Samaritan fellow comes by and he stops and he gives aid to this man, saving his life and even providing for his medical bills. And it wasn't because he has any respect for the bigotry of this injured man's culture. And not that he wasn't filled in heart, filled in his heart with hurt because of this man and how he always treats Samaritans in that culture. The anger, the discrimination that he experienced every day from the likes of this injured man, the people of who this injured man comes from. But somehow, pushing past all of that bitterness, this man from Samaria musters up this one more simple gift of grace and saves this man's life. And Jesus tells me, notice that. Notice that. So, what is it that Jesus wants us to notice? Well, I think Jesus wants us to notice the beauty and the heroism of the poor and the lowly and the often unnoticed people of our world. I think that's true. Like Alicia, a single mother who lived next to Asbury Seminary where I went. I met Alicia when she started dating a friend of mine that went to seminary with me. And Alicia had two beautiful children that she was raising on her own with no help from their father. The man that she was married to abused her, abused the kids, and she had to flee. And after her divorce, she eventually ended up in Wilmore next to Asbury. Life was just this incredible struggle, incredible pain. Yet she never gave up, and she always stood strong for her kids. She even started back to school. She was accepted into this nursing program in Lexington. But the thing that impressed me the most about her was her love and was her care shown to her neighbors and to other single moms just like her. I mean, here was this lady who had little. She is on her own trying to raise two kids. You can imagine, or maybe you can't imagine, she has nothing. She worked everything she could do just to put food on the table, clothes on her kids, raise her kids up in the faith. This was a lady who would go to her cupboards and she would divide out a portion of rice just to take to a neighbor that she knew was hungry. That was Alicia. This was a lady who would take her neighbor to the doctor because that neighbor didn't have a car, and she would drive them to the doctor and wait until they got done. Or she would drive them to work if their car was broken down. And listen, she did not have gas money to do that. She didn't have gas money to spare. She did it just because that's what you do as a Christian. And I want to tell you, one day Jesus poked me in the ribs and he said, "Andy, notice that. Notice that." You see, Jesus calls us to focus our attention on those people who are like the widow so that we can truly understand what it is to give and to live as one of Jesus' disciples. You see, giving is directly tied to our spiritual life. It's not about what God needs or what the church needs. It has nothing to do with that. Good night. Our God is the God of who has a thousand cows on the hills of the Bible. It's not that He doesn't need that. It's about our spiritual life and our need for God and truly what it is to give and be open-handed and to love as Jesus loved. You see, Jesus calls us to take notice of someone like this widow, someone like that father, someone like that Samaritan, someone like that mother of two trying to hold a family together. Take notice of someone who will probably always be poor despite their very best efforts, someone who will always likely be at the bottom of the heap, someone who will probably never make it in the eyes of the world, someone who has almost nothing left to offer and yet trusting God for their needs. They muster up these beautiful gifts of grace, and without complaint, they give them away to help others. You see, this is what Jesus wants to happen, I believe, in each and every one of our lives. Jesus' disciples are people who are more like the widow, the helpful Samaritan, the forgiving father. This is what Jesus' disciples look like. They are more like those who are stretched to the very max, that have really nothing left to offer, yet somehow still give out of their poverty. So this morning, before I close, I just want to encourage you again to be faithful in your financial giving as Jesus' disciples. Not out of your abundance or what you have, but out of your poverty. To continue on the course, to continue making equal sacrifice, to continue stretching those areas of your spiritual life that needs to be stretched, and to stretch those areas that we think are already stretched to the max. Because folks, for us to carry out the ministries and the mission of the church, for us to start new ministries that's going to breathe life into our community, we always have to stretch. In church, we have this beautiful congregation here, beautiful people, beautiful building, wonderful opportunities to share Christ. And I want to tell you, God is going to stretch us in the next several years. I promise you that. And it's going to be exciting. And I look forward to being a part of that. I hope you do too. But let us make sure that through it all, may we always have eyes to see the sacrifice in the widow. May we always have faith which is just like hers, a faith that just trusts God completely for everything. Today, I want to encourage you as committed Christians to take that fifth step to grow in your walk through Christ through your financial giving. As the ushers come forward to pass out our financial commitment cards, I want you to know that this is not some kind of a pledge card that you're filling out this morning. It has nothing to do with that at all. In fact, I don't do pledge cards. I might do estimated of giving cards, but I'm not doing those this year. This is just a way for us to make that commitment to the Lord to truly be a faithful disciple and to be challenged in our walk with God. And some of us are saying, well, what do you mean to be challenged in our walk with God? Well, you know, the average church attender gives about 2% 2.5% of their income. Do you know that? 2.5%. What's a tithe? 10%. So this morning, if you're at 2%, you might consider stepping up to 3%. You know, if you're at 4%, you might consider stepping up to 5%. And just see as you make your way to that tithe. If you're at 7 or 8%, you might choose this morning to step up to a tithe. You know, but that's between you, that's between God. But not for the purpose, please understand this, not for the purpose of giving more, but only because you understand what that is to be a faithful disciple and what it is to financially give, what it is to be a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, that we give out of what all God has blessed us with. And we do so because it has everything to do with our spiritual walk in Christ. Go now in the grace and the love that God gives to you and He gives to all, that reason, that person, that He became flesh and lived among us, that we might know Him as Emmanuel, God with us. Go in His love and grace. May you experience His peace. Amen.